Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Longer, it would have been if I went way earlier, if I went 3 months earlier, I would have been criticized for being way too early. So with all of that being said, we understand it. I think I've educated a lot of people as to the press.
The first and only time that Dr. Birx and I went in and formally made a recommendation to the president to actually have a, quote, shutdown in the sense of not really shutdown, but to really have strong mitigation. We discussed it. Obviously, there would be concern by some that, in fact, that might have some negative consequences. Nonetheless, the president listened to the recommendation and went to the mitigation.
All right, we've got some grim milestones. The worldwide cases of the coronavirus topped 2 million, and there was some back and forth, at least in the media and through the miracle of Twitter, where we all get our news, over the president and Fauci and timetables. How you doing, America? We're here for you. Kate Delaney, if you've just tuned in for the first time, glad you found us. Here's the deal with the top doc, I like to call him, Anthony Fauci. He says, and you heard him there, he used a poor choice of words in discussing the president's or the Trump administration's coronavirus response. He, of course, was on CNN's State of the Union. He was asked if lives could have been saved had social distancing been imposed during the third week of February instead of mid-March. And he said it's very difficult to go back and say that. I mean, obviously, you could logically say if you had a process that was ongoing and you started mitigation earlier, you could have saved lives. Obviously, no one is going to deny that. He said what goes into these kinds of decisions is complicated, but you're right. I mean, obviously, if we had right from the very beginning shut everything down, it would have been a little bit different, but there's a lot of pushback about shutting things down back then. So then the president on Sunday retweeted a supporter statement, not his, a supporter statement that Fauci should be fired, called the epidemic expert to the podium on Monday early in the briefing, which they don't normally do. And then what you just heard there is what Fauci said. He has been the longtime director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since the 80s. And it's not a political position, although he could be certainly moved around. He denied that, by the way, that the president forced him to make the statement on Monday. He told reporters, everything I do is voluntary. Please don't even imply that. And he said his latest comments came right before the president said, again, he would not fire his nationally recognized health care policy advisor. And then the president, you heard what he had to say there, followed up with his own statement defending his actions. And as he said, kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, of when and timetables. So this is the state of the nation. And the state of the nation, sadly, coronavirus has taken, you know, COVID-19 way too many lives, but some have been spared. There's wonderful stories of people doing incredible things for frontline workers. And then there is the sad stories of too many losing their lives. So the total count now is 23,610, so more added since I've started this show, which we're live, and that gives you the accurate count that we know to be true, because once they're reported, because numbers are coming in from all over the place. But 43,639 recovered, confirmed cases, 586,057. And New York had a grim milestone. 10,056 have died in New York so far, over 17,000 recovered. And then you go from there. New Jersey over 2,400, and that's mostly North Jersey. So I have many family and friends in, by the way, North Jersey and South Jersey and in New York, and I've talked to them. In Michigan, over 1,600 have died, and then we could go through, of course, all the other states, and we know it's grim when we hear those totals, because who wants to hear about anyone dying from this? And it's sad to see what's happening in nursing homes. It's sad, like I mentioned, with frontline workers. The statistic I got from an association that works with grocery stores across the United States, while sales are up to over 12%, 30-plus grocery store workers have died since COVID hit us, COVID-19. And it's all about still social distancing, figuring out ways to connect with people, and doing what we can to save lives. And then just to add a twist of something horrible, Mother Nature rears her ugly head. How many times have you heard me say that in the 10-plus years I've been on this network talking about what's happening across the country? You had unbelievable winds that smashed into the East Coast on Monday after an Easter night that had so many people huddled in basements, closets, tubs. Tornadoes ripped through the South. Dozens of tornadoes slammed into Mississippi and Tennessee, killing several people. It's our deadliest tornado outbreak in 6 years, since April 2014, when 35 people were killed in central and south parts of the U.S., so at least 30 people dead. Atlanta hit hard, Charlotte, Richmond, you know, all those places that I mentioned. And 11 people were killed in Mississippi, 9 in South Carolina, 6 more in northwest Georgia. And just terrible, people dying under falling trees or collapsed buildings in Arkansas and North Carolina. I've seen some of the gruesome pictures, of course. You have people without power and everything else, you know, in between. You think, oh, why, Lord, really? Does this happen now? Especially when you're talking about, then you take people in the middle of a pandemic and shove them in a tornado shelter. And what do? Well, of course, if a tornado is barreling down towards you, you got to take your chances and go in a tornado shelter. I would think in some of the hardest hit areas, that's what people would do. And I know my friends in Mississippi have told me how awful it was and how they were just huddled down, worried that they weren't going to make it out of it this time. And it was pretty bad. You know, again, going into bathtubs, trying to hold a mattress over top, huddled in closets, some people with places to escape to, but pretty bad. And if you've ever seen a twister coming your way, it is an eerie, eerie sight, let me tell you. So, sadly, some people also had to deal with that. Hey, coming up on this show, we can count. You know, it's all about the numbers, and of course, we're seeing some really horrible numbers, but there's some great numbers to talk about, too, as well. And that includes the way people are celebrating each other and figuring out a way, like I mentioned, to still connect. I heard a great story about a man celebrating his 101st birthday. We're going to tell you about that when we come back with this version of We Can Count.
Stay at home. Public health concerns. The reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hey, guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at DrinkSuperTea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Welcome to We Can Count. I always say it is about the numbers. Some of them sad, some of them fantastic. Like this one, Alan Cameron in Pearl River, New York, celebrated his 101st birthday. In the strange era we find ourselves of social distancing in, World War II veteran, lots of cars. It was a real parade. Went by to wish him well as he waved with his rose tied to his shirt, waving to people. Police helped organize the procession. Fire department, neighbors participated. How fabulous is that? You know, he was a guy who served in the war in France. Then he went to Germany after the war to help investigate war crimes. And then he remained in the Army Reserves for years after retiring as a lieutenant colonel. He worked in New York City in marketing and, by all accounts, has had an amazing life and has had neighbors in his neighborhood that he knows for more than 40 years. How about that? So very cool that all of those people in the neighborhood, and there was just tons. I mean, it looked like it was like a presidential procession. Went by, waved, flashed their lights, you know, did all that kind of stuff. And how neat is that? So there is a way. You can always find a way. And I love that so many are being clever. Found out about that, and even, like I said, the local fire department participated, too, as well. Burger King is giving students free Whoppers for solving questions in the middle of the coronavirus school closings. So they're offering students free Whoppers with this test.
They say they want to reward students who are continuing to study hard. So starting on Monday, which already happened, through April 20th, they're going to post a question each day on their social media channels, including Facebook and Instagram pages. The questions cover different subjects, including math, biology, chemistry, and literature. They need to enter their answer on the BK app. Very clever for Burger King, huh? To get the free Whopper sandwich with any purchase. There's a limit of one per student. And they're not the only ones doing that. Taco Bell is giving away Freebie Tuesday as part of the coronavirus response, their response anyway. They usually save their free taco giveaways for sporting events, World Series, NBA Finals. So they are doing the free Doritos Locos Tacos giveaway on Tuesday. No purchase necessary to get the beef tacos, they say. See, this is what you do. You get them in. You got to think of some marketing. What marketing can we do? Although, hey, that's kind of clever of Burger King, right? Then you could just have them delivered. So maybe you get a couple of free Whoppers if enough kids in your house answer the questions and you pay, I don't know, for the fries. The stimulus checks. The first coronavirus stimulus checks have gone out. Some people should be getting their payments by Tuesday. $1,200. They were delivered direct deposit on Friday, so there were some people that saw that. And then you got about 50 to 70 million Americans will get their checks through that direct deposit, and then others will get them through the mail, and then others can go to a portal on the website that you put your input for direct deposit. It speeds things up. And, of course, the government is distributing the checks under that $2.2 trillion economic recovery package that the president signed into law last month. So individuals with an adjusted gross income of $75,000 or less get a one-time payment of $1,200, $2,400 for joint tax returns, $500 for every child. And those with little or no tax liability also get $1,200, too. So for some, of course, for many people, well, that will be a huge boost, getting at least a temporary huge boost, getting that $1,200 to pay for, I don't know, groceries, rent, whatever it might be. All right, let's move on to more numbers. And so what do the numbers look like when it comes to travel? American Airlines pilots, flight attendants are taking leaves. They're taking buyouts. Unions representing flight crews for American say the company offered short-term leave packages. That makes sense, right? From 1 month to a year, all keeping their benefits, most, at least some of their pay. They also offered pilots and flight attendants the option of retiring early with full benefits and partial pay. 700 pilots got the early retirement offer, and those pilots will get 50 hours of pay per month and full benefits starting at 62 until age 65. A typical month pays pilots 85 to 90 hours, if you're doing the math. 4,800 American pilots accepted voluntary leave offers, ranging from 1 to 6 months. They get full benefits, 55 hours pay per month. They have to maintain landing, and this is interesting, they have to maintain landing and simulator training to keep their ready-to-fly status, because once that changes, American has 15,000 pilots represented by the union, so then they would bounce back to that. And that's what a lot of them are doing, which would make sense, right? All right, how about this? The cruise ship sailed past, cruise ships that have sailed past, in meaning the responses to, no sail orders or whatever it might be. What they've done is the top disease response agency posted orders keeping cruise ships docked last Wednesday night, extending the ban through August. So with no sail orders on the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's website, they kind of try to figure out how do we soften the language, because, of course, the cruise ship industry is like so many.
leveled, and they say ships can sail again in July, but they could be docked even longer if they had been somehow deleted from the list. So there's some confusion over that, obviously, as to amid the chaos and the response. And then there was that decision to allow the cruise lines to police themselves during the crisis. And now they're rolling that back in and trying to figure that out, because we know of the death of cruise passengers from the coronavirus and how awful that's been. Specifically, flying the red flag is what I was kind of getting at in the beginning. You got to put the red flag up pretty much of the coronavirus. So, for example, the Royal Caribbean's Liberty of the Seas left Galveston, Texas on March 15th, right after the CDC said it was notified that COVID-19 positive travelers showed symptoms while on board. So almost 100 cruise ships weighed off the Gulf, Atlantic, and Pacific coast with about 80,000 crew members on board, according to the CDC's latest no-sail order. 15 ships are anchored in harbors with known or suspected coronavirus people on board. Wow. Right? And the cruise lines, I mean, they just know. How is this affecting them? It's already affected them. Obviously, it is affecting them right now. But how does it affect them once they get through this very difficult period? It's going to be about getting people to come back onto the ship. So there was a slow response in the whole cruise situation to COVID-19. And obviously, this led to those floating Petri dishes and so many of the problems that happened there. Ugh. Awful, awful, awful. All right, and then there's this. The mother of one basketball player, Carl Anthony Towns, someone who actually I've interviewed twice, I think, in my career, Jacqueline Cruz, died Monday due to complications from COVID-19. So many people in the basketball world knew her, but so many people in her own world knew the Towns family, and she was known to be gregarious and welcoming of you know, anyone that ever came to their house. So the National Basketball Players Association said, words can't express the extreme sadness each of us feels at the news of the passing of Carl Anthony Towns' loving mother. And there were a lot of people that reacted on Twitter and elsewhere to lift him up. Because remember, she was a wife, a mother, a daughter, a grandmother, a sister, an aunt, and a friend. And we had so many of those stories that are floating around. Stay with us. I will meet you on the other side.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
But they issued a statement saying that Joe Biden agrees that President Trump was right to close it down to China. Now, he did that. Now, he issued it on Friday night.
President Trump telling reporters at the daily White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing that even Joe Biden reversed course and said he did the right thing by stopping flights to China because of the coronavirus. At the briefing, the president fighting mainstream media criticism of his administration's response, and he plays a video clip with bipartisan praise of the Herculean effort to stop the spread of the virus. In this clip, California Governor Democrat Gavin Newsom.
He returns calls, he reaches out, he's been proactive. We got that mercy ship that was directly because he sent it down here. 2,000 medical units came to the state of California, these FMS, these field medical stations.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. In July of 2017, I was in a catastrophic car accident, and I broke my neck, the base of my skull, my back, my ribs, and both legs. As you might imagine, getting a good night's sleep has been a real challenge. Well, then at CPAC in 2019, I met Mike Lindell of MyPillow. Mike wanted to help me to get a good night's rest and introduced me to his pillows, his mattress topper, and his Giza cotton sheets. I can tell you they really work. And Mike has authorized me to offer you a special discount on MyPillow products. Call 800-662-9236. That's 800-662-9236. One more time, 800-662-9236. Use the promo code Pastor Greg. That's Pastor Greg. Or you can use it at the MyPillow website.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to the show, this edition of Author's Corner, Carl Anderson. He's written a book that I think will really resonate with so many of you that are listening to the show. It's called A Mother-Father Complex. As soon as I looked at the book, I can't tell you, so many images jumped up in my head, and I know that this is doing the same thing for you, because really that's where it all starts. Carl, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Kate.
So you have an accent, and I love your accent, so we got to tell people where you're from, and you talked to me off the air, and you're about, what, 2.5 hours outside of Copenhagen?
Yeah, Copenhagen is 2.5 hours from here, and Copenhagen is Denmark, for them who knows that, and myself is in Sweden, so it is just a bridge. It is just a bridge between almost here and Denmark.
Yeah, and I can visualize that, that's for sure. So tell us about the book. Tell us what the basis of the book is. Give us like what we would call, and you know this as a writer, a synopsis of the book.
Yeah, I can give you that. I have actually prepared some thoughts about this really before this talk. So we can say that the basics for this writing that I have done over many years now, and also for this book, is an emergency situation where I have been really mentally ill and sick. And this is, you can speak this in economical terms, I think, like a ruin, a real ruin with girlfriends, with friends, with family, with society in general also. So that's really the basic. And that brings me forth to explain things for people that I have kind of been misjudged by, maybe. I feel, I have felt, and really have the need to say things in a way that can explain for them what I think about, really, my life and relations that I have had. So then you can say that you come to a point where to imagine the real becomes really important, to imagine the real. And that is something that I always have done in my books, to imagine the real. That's a concept that many times can bring illusions to people. And I think that to work with illusions within reality is something that you can really feel is maybe dangerous at a personal level. But when you do it in fiction, you can have a really freedom in that, to be able to imagine something that you know is there. That is something I really like to do, always when I write.
Wow, and I love that you painted the picture, the illusion to work within reality is really something, and so that's what readers would get a sense of in reading your book.
Yeah, I think that is at least an incentive for me to write those words I have written. That is to imagine the real, but also to work with the illusion that the real evoke when you think the real, because it does. That is really the point. It's like Kant, he says that always, that you try really to see God in on the wall in front of you, but you can never see God there. He disappears you. He loses you. You can never see that. You can never see the Father at the wall. He is, because as in Lacan's word, the Father is already dead. The sons killed him simply.
Yeah.
That is the kind of the vehicle into the realm of the illusion of the real.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought this was important. I wanted to tell people something else that you and I talked about. We share, I think, a love for Ireland, and Ireland has been kind of your muse, I think, because you went to Trinity and you wrote several books there. What is it about Ireland and writing? Because people visualize, ooh, when I write, where am I going to do it? Where do I sit? How do I do this? And I think that sort of has been your muse. Am I right?
Yeah, you are absolutely right, Kate. That is my saving. Ireland is my saving. That gave me a push to believe in myself. Ireland gave me a push to believe in myself. It gave me an identity that I know I am, but that my country can't give me. They give me a thinker's identity, a kind of an outside identity. That also is something that you can feel strength in when you get answer in that. When you really get answer in that and feel freedom in that, that is just strength. And then you can start to relax on things and be yourself, really. And Ireland is the country for that. That is really the country where you can be outside but still really feel free and inside with yourself. That is really this thinker's country that it is. This is a lovely place. And it's really, they lack many things in you can say, in welfare and so on that we have here in Sweden that Sweden are so famous for. But so many qualities in this Ireland that the rest of Europe don't have, I must say. That is clear from.
Yeah, I'm glad we brought that up. And so again, we're speaking with Carl Anderson, and his book is A Mother-Father Complex. For somebody listening to us right now, if they read your book, and we hope they do, they read your book, what do you hope that they take away from reading your book?
Yeah, personal feeling that belonging is not just yourself. You need to feel yourself in other people. That is really, I think that is an abstract way to say it. You need to feel yourself with other people. That is really important. And other people is something that you need to relate to. You need to relate to them. You need to really listen to them, and you need to take decisions by other people's presence. And that's something that is really important in a society, that is to listen to each other. And that is, I'd like to say that, Kate, because that is really important to me in this way of writing that I do, a mother father complex is really not about me speaking mother and father or girlfriends. It's really them speaking me. That is the key. They speak me, and I think that is maybe the key leap I have done in knowledge because of these books that I've written. That is the thing. They speak me, not I speak them.
Right, that makes sense. And as you say, it's, you know, it really, in a way, it's what we're talking about is really the conversation. It's being able to have that. It's the misunderstandings that happen. And I think being misjudged, you mentioned the word misjudge, and that's such a big word. And I think a lot of people that are hearing us feel misjudged. I think a lot of people feel that. And I think that makes them go inside themselves, and it makes it really, really tough. And then they grapple with some of the mental gymnastics that you talked about, do you think?
Yeah. We are in a time where mental gymnastics is maybe one of the most. Yeah. That's a good phrase. That's mental gymnastic. Yeah, that is the time.
You talked about we talked about Ireland and the books that you've written. When you write and you finish a book, how do you feel?
Yeah. That's strange. I don't feel so much. I feel a bit maybe lonely, I think. I have had a relation with this text and this work. And I really prepare myself in advance long before I start to write. Not that I write down things. I have it in my head. I really process things in my head before I start to set the words on the screen. So that takes time for me. But then when I write, it's kind of an explosion. I write short books. It's just maybe 2,000-3,000 words, not so much more really. So that's an explosion that I just put things down. And then I feel me terribly lonely. Really. That's the point. I feel me so lonely. That's the basic feeling. That takes some time to get over this work you have done, to kind of start anew and start your personal life really. Because this is so overwhelming to live in a kind of a text that you know will be a book. It is inundating yourself in a way that you really don't know so much more around you than just that. That's a process also. That you should know that a book doesn't die because you have written it finished. That doesn't die. Many times you need to process the book you have written long after, because there are many things what you have written that you really haven't understood with yourself. Really, your individual self haven't understood really what you have done. That's a process. That's really an education, this process after you've written the book, to kind of process this work and really be honest with yourself that, okay, I am not finished with this. I haven't understood this really, what I have done fully. And that takes time. That really takes time. And I think it needs really to be developed within yourself before you can say, okay, now I have a grip on it. But it is really that. And that good literature and good art needs that opening when you do things. It can't be closed down as soon as you have done it. You need to have it open that I can't grip everything here. I don't know everything I've done. And it needs to be that way. Otherwise, I don't think it's good.
Wow. That is a perfect place to end this, because it's so true. It's a living, breathing thing. And that's what your book is. And your work, all of your work is that. So pick up Carl Anderson's book, A Mother Father Complex. You can get it on Amazon. Carl, thank you so much for joining us on Author's Corner.
Yeah, my pleasure.
In the middle of a crisis,
crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea builds the red corpuscles in our blood, which bring oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves, and cancer dies in oxygen. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a 1 acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
And finally, to close us out tonight, Christine Cashin joins us. She's a Hall of Fame speaker, and she likes to call herself a hot mess mom. So can you imagine being a speaker and being grounded? Somebody who's used to being on and off flights, running home, checking in, hanging out with the family. They love you just enough, and then you're out of the way. But now you're in the way, I would assume. So she's in our virtual green room. Hey, Christine, how are you?
Hi. Hang in there, Kate. How are you?
So you heard my description, and I think I probably nailed it for lots of different people, but all of a sudden now you've got all this time at home. What's that been like?
Oh, my gosh. You know, you think you're a hot mess before. Hey, now we're all a hot mess in one place, and it's such a challenge. As any woman at home now knows, if you've got kids that are trying to online school, I've got two teenagers, so it might be different than people with little kids, but they think I'm their worst nightmare because every time they turn around, I'm standing in the doorway. What are you working on? What are you doing? They're calling me the COVID creeper.
Wow, because they can't get away from you because you're right there. You're kind of like you're like the teacher's monitor times 10 since you're trying to see what they're doing.
There is no alone time because I'm so afraid that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. When they're like, God, Holly, you can't be in every hour. What are you doing? What are you doing? They said it's just, like, so annoying, and I get it. But, you know, you want to keep up on things, and you feel like you're not doing your part, so.
And what about the, you know, a lot of parents I know, and there are a lot of people talking about this, as you mentioned, it's different school ages, but the whole online thing is tough for people. And I know in your school district, we've talked off the air, and I wanted everyone in America to hear this because I think this is so cool that your school district really stepped up because there's a lot of kids that don't have internet access and also meals, right?
Oh, yeah, our school district is amazing. We're here in Denton County in Texas, and they have taken big buses, and they've gone through the neighborhoods delivering lunches. They have drop-off of lunches. The principal, teachers, volunteers, has been amazing. And then this morning, what the teachers did at one of the local elementary schools is they did a teacher parade. All the teachers in their cars drove through the neighborhoods, honking horns with signs on their car that said, "We miss you." People were coming out of their houses so the kids could wave to the teachers and the teachers could wave to the kids. I get goosebumps just talking about it. It was very, very special.
Yeah. And, you know, we go back, which is great that they're doing that. And then we go back to what are the new joys in life. So what are your new joys or new habits? Because you must have a few new ones since you're confined to your space.
Yeah, well, definitely the new joy is wearing yoga pants every day. You know, not having to wear heels or dress up or shower for that matter. Thank God for Zoom or else I don't think I'd get out of bed to be able to connect. But I think for a lot of us, one of the things that has really helped me, because you get so depressed, your business is evaporating and everyone's struggling. I'm like, all right, how can I connect with people? How can we make other people happy? So I did a virtual happy hour for my neighbors where they didn't even know how to Zoom. And so I taught everyone how to Zoom, and we got on a call together and raised a glass one night. And then on a sunny day here in Texas, we had a pop-up puppy party where everybody with the friendly dogs came out, and we all stood our distance, but the dogs got to play, and we got to see them, and it felt really, really good.
I love it. So there you go. There's some ideas for some of you listening out there with your neighbors to have the happy hour. And again, the benefit, the yoga pants. Of course, the other thing is for everybody listening is for most women, almost every woman in America, in some way, colors her hair. So I'm saying and thinking to myself, we're going to have very strange looks when we finally emerge. Isn't this not going to be men who are going to have long hair? It's going to be women who have different color hair. I'm thinking, what do you think?
I think there's going to be a sale on hats.
Yes.
I think hats are going to make a huge comeback. I'm already plotting what I'm going to wear when we actually are able to come out of the house again, for sure.
All right, so hopefully that'll be sooner rather than later. And stay safe, everybody. And Christine Cashin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Good luck, everybody. We got this.
All right, so I agree that there's no question that it's such an adjustment for parents, for people working from home. It's really kind of changed things where it's interesting to see pictures or video that sometimes people are posting of a spouse, and one's got the computer up in one area and the other one has the computer in another area. Don't talk to me! And just what you have to do, the whole idea of Zoom, you know, she mentioned Zoom, and I'm a huge believer in Zoom and have always used it, and I kind of was ahead of the curve on the whole Zoom thing, but now that everybody else is jumping on it, that creates that internet traffic too, so some people are having trouble with that. I know there's people listening in Alabama, and just like the school district in Texas with their K-12 schools closed through at least April 5th, they were scrambling to figure out, how do we keep students learning? What can we do? We got to figure this out and prevent the summer slide right away. So we got to do whatever we can. Worksheets, online resources. But here's what the problem is. In like Decatur City Schools, you've got 9,000 students who are there, right? And they're trying to figure out, what can we do on these campuses? And we're going to do this online learning, but what if they don't have internet? I mean, not all these families have internet. So they had, what they did was they ordered additional hotspots, you know, those Wi-Fi that could be turned on for families without internet
connectivity to connect about 2,500 families, which is great. So that gave them a chance to do that. And then they did everything they could in spring break, preparing lessons and got Chromebooks distributed and all of that, and tried to ramp up the virtual learning, certainly for the teachers, so that they were able to do that. And I'm sure there's been some crazy wrinkles in all of it, but they feel like it's challenging, but they feel like, you know, they're starting to get easier after a couple of weeks of doing that. And they've used Google Meet, which is an online platform for students and teachers, so they can see each other face to face. And how about that? And before, they had never given the students the access to that, but they had the Chromebooks, and so that's really changed what's happening now for kids of all different ages going to school at home, doing the online learning thing. And then, like I said, working from home for some people is tough, because the whole idea of getting in the car, going to a place, putting on, you know, the work face, I call it, is different. You're having that dedicated office space that you go to, whatever it is, even if it's a little corner of the world where you're in a cubicle, not having that is crazy for some people, to try to figure out, how can I get used to this? How can I socialize with people? What do I do? And how do I get FaceTime with the boss? And what can I do? And I mean, first of all, number one thing is, you got to be positive, right? Because everybody's adjusting to this. And I'm a big believer, although often I fall down on the job in this, because I'm a speaker too, and I'm used to coming in and out, and I say this on the show, I'm either behind this microphone or another microphone on the stage, and that's created something different for me in not doing that. So I think coming up with a new morning routine where you sit down, you start at one time, or afternoon, whenever it is, and you just do it. You just do whatever it is you're going to do. And I think not wearing pajamas is probably good. I don't know. There's something about wearing pajamas and slippers that don't make you feel like you're working, or at least it doesn't make me feel like I'm in that frame of mind. And there have been some very funny things that have been posted on social media about that, about, you know, how odd it is, and are you slacking in other areas? Are you getting up and brushing your hair and brushing your teeth, for goodness sake? So it has been an adjustment for everyone, but we can get through this together. There's no question about that. We're better together. We're stronger together, and we're seeing some incredible things happen where people are reaching out to help other people. I've talked about that throughout the show and throughout so many other shows that I've done since this has happened. And bravo to everybody who is stepping up and trying to combat that isolation, however it is, by reaching out to other people, by sewing face masks for health workers. That's happening in all kinds of places, by running and getting groceries for some of the older people in the neighborhood and leaving them on the porch and doing that for them, and running other little special errands when they cannot get out. All right, hang with us. We got a great storyteller coming up and a few other surprises as well. Meet you on the flip side. What condition my condition was
in. I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then
the Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.